Welcome. It's great to have you here this morning. Last week, we were actually in Washington, D.C., at our friend's church, and where I was just thinking about that, driving up the mountain, going, what, really? Seems like 100 years ago. 1 week makes a big difference. I don't know about you, but things like that, just kind of go, really? Wow. So welcome to you all. This morning, some of you might have missed it. If you knew what was out there, we had a great breakfast. So we might even have to stand up and do a little bit of group aerobics. Not group exercise, but you know, something to get us moving and stuff like that, just to burn up some of that sugar we were talking about earlier, all that good food. But it was wonderful fellowship and just time together and being with our fellow family in Christ. Today, as I was reading this passage, and you know how the Lord works with me, I think of games and movies and all these types of things. Well, we're hide and seek. I'm sure we all like hide and seek, right? I mean, a good game of hide and seek, especially when you were a kid, is like one of the top of the list, right? You know, with tag and all that stuff, you know, you had to play hide and seek. I remember a lot of games I used to play hide and seek and stuff like that and just enjoyed it so much. And you know, as when you play hide and seek, I observed three roles in there especially. There's one, it's the easy catch. Okay, that's usually the little guys. You know, when you say, "Raider, not here I come," they're usually sheepishly peering around the corner at you going, "Ooh." They're going, "Why didn't you hide?" You know, they want to be found, right? They might be hiding and you hear a giggle, 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 and you hear some movement or something and they pop out and they're so happy, they're smiling. You say, you know, they just want to be found, all right? They just love to be found. Kind of like, you know, that's just kind of the kids and some people who can't fit into that space as quickly as they wanted to. You could be found pretty easy there too. So, and then you got another one I call the no-see-me's, right? They're the ones that they go into these places where they're contortion artists. And there's no way any human purse can fit in there, but they do. You know, they just contort and they're quiet. And you don't even know they're there. I still remember one time I was playing outside and it was nighttime and I was just hiding in plain sight, but I was right up against a fence and there's a garage, so there's a little wall out here, so I was in the shadows. And they were just walking past me. I just kept my eyes closed as they were coming close to me, and they were walking right at me. I was perfectly still. Had my eyes closed, they couldn't see me. And then when they, you know, they call Ali Ali Oxenfree at the end, and I came out and said, "Oh, where were you? You were cheating." I said, "No, I was just right there all the time." And I still remember one time we were playing with Nolan and Cam when they were little guys in Thailand, and we were at a big center. And I think our living room was almost as big as this part of the sanctuary. It was a big place. And we were playing hide and seek, and, you know, Cam was an easy catch, okay, because he wanted to be found. But Nolan, we couldn't find him. We were looking all around. Joy was helping me, and then all of a sudden I was starting to get a little worried. I was going, what happened? Somebody take him, or did he run away? You know, I had to go outside calling him and stuff like that, and all of a sudden we heard a little snickers, you know, and he was hiding. I don't know where you were hiding behind. What was it?
Behind
a recliner. You know, I thought we checked there or something, but he was so quiet. And he didn't move. And so we couldn't find him. So he was, you know, no-see-me, right? Those little flies that bite you and you go, "Where are they? I can't see them." You know, you just, you know, he was a no-see-me. And then you got one of the more important roles, and probably the most important, is the seeker. Because if you don't have a good seeker, the game sucks. Because if it's somebody like, oh, 9, 10, 11, 12, and then they start eating a hot dog or whatever, and, you know, and they, "Oh, really? Not here I come," and they just sit there and scratching their head, "Oh, where should I go?" And they're not even trying, or, you know, you're just sitting there and you're all bent up in these weird angles, going, "Come on, please, come after me. You know, trees, find me, because I can't handle this any longer." So you have that type of stuff going on. And truthfully, you know, in a game of hide and seek, that's the way that is. But, you know, we also play hide and seek in real life. We play hide and seek with God. We play hide and seek with God. You know, we have those easy catches. We have those no-see-me's. and we have the great seeker, and we praise the Lord that he is a great seeker of souls, seekers of lost, of people who need to be found. And, you know, we're going to be taking a look at that today a little bit closer and what that really means for us even today. You know, and he was speaking this to all those who were listening to him back then when Jesus was telling these parables to kind of to wake them up to the reality of things, and what's really important and how we are to be a part of the game or be a part of what God created. Let's pray before we continue on. Lord God, we come before you knowing that you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You are the creator of all things. And you know every one of us, and you know where we are at all times. You know our thoughts. You know our concerns. You are faithful. You are this faithful, just God whose works are perfect, and you don't do anything wrong. You are upright. You are loving, and you're caring, you're a seeker. Lord, I pray that you will open our hearts this morning to your word by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you'll teach us things anew. Remind us of things that we used to know that we just forgot or just kind of put aside, or even things that we rejected. Lord, I pray that you make it clear to us this day by the power of your Holy Spirit. So bless your word, and may your name be received, be honored in glory in all of this. We praise you and thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So first of all, in all of this, though, you know, when we look at this and Jesus is telling the parables, and he's talking about lostness, you know, the sheep, that one sheep that was lost, or the coin that was lost. And I was going, wow, what is being lost? What's lostness? You know, and it's just something that I felt like I had to go through myself, and maybe that'll help us. When I look at this, you know, I think we have a lot of people that are, you know, hunters or mountain climbers or hikers or whatever it is, but you know, we've been out in the forest. I know I have been, in areas where I'm kind of looking around and go, oh. If I don't really watch what I'm doing, I can get lost. Because everything looks the same. And especially when you start getting tired and stuff like that, everything starts looking the same. And you find yourself going, where am I? And you don't have GPS, your phone doesn't work, things like that. You know, and you're in trouble. You're in trouble. And I've been in those situations. There's no worse feeling, really, to me. Anyways, of being lost. I've been lost in L.A. on the roads, you know, trying to, as a young driver, going to go and see my mom at her job, but there's a tricky turn to get off at the right place to get to her workplace. I missed it. I don't know where I went. To this day, I don't know. It was nighttime, so I had no landmarks, because all I usually do is just look up in the mountains. I already know where I am, because I know the mountains. I know where I am, but I couldn't see them. So I was going, I had got off the freeway, and I got off in this area. I have no idea. I could have been in Watts. If you know Watts in L.A., you don't want to be there if you had this color face. But so I was there, but I went to a grocery store, and somebody was walking out there. I said, hey, where am I, and how do I get back to this area? And they just said, go that way. You know, and you know, praise the Lord, they were right. You know, I didn't. There was no cell phones back there, no GPS, no nothing like that. You know, so I was on just a young driver. I don't know, maybe I was 18 years old or something like that, but it was a scary moment. It's weird. You just kind of go, I don't know where to go. You're just, you know, I need to be found. I need to be found. Well, when I think about people being lost spiritually, they're Christless. They don't know who God is. They have no lamp unto their feet, no light unto their path from his word. We walk by other people's knowledge or some system that we're following or a book or our own experience, stuff like that, and we just wander and wander and wander, and we get deeper and deeper into the forest, and get off the path. So easy. So easy to wander off when you don't have Christ in your life. Just like what Pastor Aaron last week was speaking about, you know, being saturated in the Word. If you're not saturated, if you're not reading the Word, if you're not thinking about it, not praying with it, you're not allowing God to speak, if you don't have that real relationship where you're going back and forth with God, you know, during the week, even as you're driving or you're doing things, you know, He'll speak to you. Just open our hearts, right? You know, if you don't have that, it's lostness. It's lostness. We're just walking by our own agendas. Me, myself, and I. We're building our own kingdoms. And it's lost. Because we know that in Acts 4:12, it says, hey, there's only one way. There's only one name under heaven in which you can be saved. And that's Jesus Christ. There's no other way. It's a narrow way. It's a narrow door. But there's only one. And it's open to all. It's open to all who will come. And then I started thinking, well, you know, this is about seeking and hiding, but who's seeking? Because in Romans 11 says, what? It says this, there is no one who seeks God. No one. Not one. Because what we seek is ourselves, our own self-centered world. That's it. I wasn't seeking God. I knew about Him. I thought He was pretty great, but I didn't really seek out a relationship for many, many, many years until I was 29 years old. So who was seeking who? Well, I wasn't seeking God. I wasn't. I wasn't seeking Him. In Luke 18, it says, hey, when Jesus talked to that rich young ruler, and He says, hey, you know, if you want to follow Me, you got to get rid of everything. Sell it all and follow Me. And He just walked away. He said, I can't do that. And then his disciples are going, well, if the rich can't get into the kingdom of heaven, who can? And Jesus says, well, it's impossible for man. It's impossible for man. But nothing is impossible with God. So now I start going, oh, okay. And then in Luke 19:10, it says this. It says, Jesus says this. This is what Jesus, this is His words. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Then I said, oh, now I know who's seeking here. I'm not seeking. It's God seeking. Christ is seeking. And we'll talk a little bit more about how He does that. And so we move on. So now we've satisfied, well, we understand lostness a little bit more. We understand who the seeker is. And now you got the easy catch. We got to talk about the easy catch for a little bit here. Because the easy catch are those guys who just go, oh, come and get me. You know, come and get me. Just like these guys here. You know, before in chapter 14, Jesus was going like this. Get away from Me, pretty much. He's repelling people. Says, unless you count the cost, don't you dare follow Me. It's very contrasting to what He is doing now. You know, just before chapter 15 starts, He says, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. Well, then we start in 15, and what do we see here? What do we see? What's going on? It says this. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to what? To hear Jesus. Easy catch. They were hiding. Come find Me. Ready now, here I come. Whoop, here I am. Here I am. They were gathering around Him so they could count the cost. They wanted to hear Him, hear what He has to say. And they were counting the cost, whether they were going to follow Him or not. Now, we don't know who chose to follow Him or not. We don't know. Doesn't say that, but that we see this. We see these hearts, these open hearts that really say, hey, I want to be found. And boy, You're so accepting, Jesus. And you're so welcoming. and you're forgiving. I can listen to you. I can listen to you. So they come and listen. And they're willing to catch that, count the cost. And then the Pharisees and say this. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they were muttering to themselves and they were kind of going, well, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. You know, they're saying it kind of disgusting, you know, condemningly, right? You know, he's, this guy. You know, Jesus in 14, at the end there, he's talking about saltiness, right? He wants us to be salt. Well, the Pharisees and experts of law were salty. And in the slang term today that they use, salty, you know, something who's resentful, who's ignorant, I mean, who's irritated, who's angry. You know, so, you know, they're being salty, but in a negative way. And Jesus is saying, no, I want you to be salty in a positive way. I want you to go out there and stand out for Christ. I want you to help others and be a light, salt and light, as we saw in the Beatitudes when he was speaking to the people. So, you know, we see that, and then Jesus is going, well, guys, you know, clue in here, because I know you're all caught up in yourselves and stuff like that. Oops, I didn't move this on. Sorry about that. We'll move on here. So their heart's a little bit different, because the Pharisees, they think they got it all. They got the ancestry, and they got the rules, and they got the status and all that stuff. They're just, you know, they don't care about the other people. You know, the other people, you know, if they can't meet the standards, who cares about them? This is their attitude towards them. It says, there is joy before God when those who provoke him perish from the world. That's their thought. That's their thought. They don't have no pity. No pity at all. No compassion at all to the, what they call the sinners. People who aren't in their group, who are following their rules, who attend to their agendas. You know, otherwise, you know, they just don't want to associate with them at all. And then Jesus calls them out there in Matthew 23. He says this. He says, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You travel over land and sea to win a single convert. And when you have succeeded, you make them twice as much a child of hell as you are. That's Jesus' words. You know, they're on their own thing and they're trying to make their own converts to them, you know, follow them. Follow what they got going on, not God. You know, they don't understand this God who is pursuing the lost. They don't understand that this God who not only pursues the lost, but welcomes them and forgives them and rejoices over them when they repent. They don't have that clue. They say, follow me, I got the way. I got the rules. You're okay if you follow what I got going here. Man's way. But Jesus challenges that. And in Luke, he challenged him again. He says, it is, I think I have this up here. He says, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He's, you know, remember in this part here, was Jesus telling that story about this, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. There's rejoicing. There's just receiving. But then he says this, I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Now, a lot of times I read this like, oh, these 99, they're okay. They're already saved. And then when I read it again, I kind of go, wait. Jesus, back a little bit further, he was saying the same thing. He's going, no, guys, you think you're healthy. You think you don't need to repent. You're all self-righteous. And that's what they were. They needed to repent. They just didn't know it yet. They just haven't had somebody throw that rock and bump them in the head and cause them to get out of their own little self-centered world and go, oh, what? Where am I? Like God did to me when I was 29 years old. Pump. What? I'm lost. Ooh, I don't like being lost. Find me. Help me. They didn't know that. They weren't thinking about that. They had their own agendas. They had no pity. They were hiding in their own lostness. Their hearts were hidden from God. Truthfully, they're hiding their hearts from God. And we know you can't really do that. Because you know what? We have this awesome seeker. Praise the Lord for that. If you ever looked at Psalm 139, I'll turn that for you. And it's a seeker. It's a hide-and-seek game going on here. Listen to this. I'll just read a little bit of this. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Now listen to this. Where can I go? I have that one up. I got that. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? See the little hide-and-seek game going on there? I know, God, I don't know if I'm ready for you. I don't know what you got for me. I like my own thing going on here. I feel safe and secure in my little home. I got my own job. I got my family. I got all my daily chores and all the things I do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all mapped out. I even got my vacation plans all ready to go and months ahead and all that stuff. Oh, but God, I don't want you coming in. I'm hiding from you because I know you got some other things going on and you're calling me out and I've been resisting and I'm still hiding from it. I'm not ready for it. So then it goes on. It says, if I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. I can't get away from you. If I rise up on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, just like I was hidden in the darkness on that hide-and-seek game, right? And a light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. He is a seeker par excellence. He knows where everybody is. He knows where our hearts are. And he is relentlessly pursuing every person in this world throughout all of history from Adam and Eve to the very end. He's an awesome seeker. He's a great seeker to play a game with. Because, yeah, we do go hiding, don't we? I know I go hiding in my own little world. But I know that, you know, he's going to seek me out. He's going to find me. And he's going to, you know, he's going to move me. And when I finally open my heart to him, I know he's going to do some things in and through my life to change me. See, he's one that seeks. And how he seeks us and starts getting us to do the Jeremiah thing of seeking him. Oh, you'll seek me and find me when you search with me for me with all your heart. Well, first of all, he seeks us and finds us through his spirit who moves throughout the world, through his word, And these guys, these sinners and tax collectors, had the incarnate word right before them. And they were seeking right there. You know, he sought them out first. He was there amongst them in person, God himself dwelling amongst them. The word being revealed. And we got the word here. We got the word of people speaking and preaching it. And then we got God's creation. He reveals himself to us through his creation. That's what caught me. That's what rock hit me in the head at first, was his creation. I said, man, there must be a God. All the places I've been, all the things I've done, nothing else can create anything like this. He's awesome. He's wonderful. And he gives us that creativity, because when he made us in his image, we are creative. Now, we can't create out of nothing like he did, okay? And he created in a way that we cannot fathom, because it's beyond our infinite, I mean, our finite way of thinking. We can't think about the greatness of God and all it means. But what we know of him, it's awesome, right? It's vast. It's great. And he desires to find us. He seeks and finds us, and he uses his word, his creation, his spirit to open our hearts and cause us to turn around and start to seek him. And that is a miracle in itself, and a miracle with grace in it by faith alone. So it's wonderful that we have such a seeking God. And that's comforting to me, because I know there's a lot of times I look around me, there's so many lost people. I go, man, I just feel overwhelmed. But I know, when I think about this, I know God's seeking them. But he's asking us to partner with him. His people, his church, that's what we're about. We're not here just to come together to eat and have fun together. We're here to build his kingdom. We're here to be like him, a seeker after the lost. That's really what it comes down to. See, at the end of the game, when you can't find a rest, when you've given up, you've tried your best to find those Nolans and all those other guys, right? You go, ollie, ollie, oxen free. Well, that means, hey, you're all free to come out. See, the Pharisees were right when they said, oh, he's welcoming all these sinners to come eat with him. Yes, we are to go out and go, hey. You know, Val, did you know Jesus is welcoming you to come and eat with him, to listen to him? He's forgiving. He's accepting. He loves us more than we can understand. Listen to him. Count the cost. That's our part of partnering with him. Ollie, ollie, oxen free. Call it out. Call it out true, because he's welcoming all. We all like to find things, right, that are valuable to us. We do, don't we? You find that 12-point buck. Woo, yeah, there's joy. You find that gold nugget on the ground that you've been looking for all your life. Oh, there it is. Whee! You know, you find that person in your life that's going to be a friend forever. It's wonderful. God has that heart after us, every single one of us. Find that chocolate cake. Oh, what was that called? That mother load? Oh, hallelujah. Got to go to California for that. All right, find a mother load. But there's such joy in it. And God has such a joy in finding us. And when we repent, when we turn to him, finally, and we just say, I give up. I give up. Lord, I need your help. And he says, yes, I'm here to help you. I'm here. I'm here to save you. I'm here to rescue you. Because you know what? Ready or not, here I come. See, at the beginning of the game, You know, you count your counts, and you come out to the seeker, and he goes, "Ready or not, here I come." Well, in real life, when God says, "Ready or not, here I come," we need to be ready, and we need to get as many people into the kingdom of God as we can. Now, we can't force people, but we can invite them to Jesus' table. That's our part. We can pray. You know, God doesn't give up. He didn't give up on the Pharisees. You know that? He didn't give up on them because if you read in Acts, a lot of priests and Pharisees came to Christ. If you read through that, there's a lot of that going on. And you know who else? A Pharisee of Pharisees met Jesus on the road. A guy named Saul, who became the Apostle Paul. See, God is a seeker. He doesn't ever give up. And we have to have that same heart to pray, to speak in people's lives, never to give up, always to seek, intently seek out, and then call all the only oxen free before he calls out, "Ready or not, here I come," because it is not such a good ending. Because it's game over. Game's over. When Christ comes back, that's it. And we don't know, that could be now, right now. Or it could be another 1,000 years, I don't know. But we have to do our part. There's an urgency to the church that we have lost. Urgency to pray. Urgency to seek the lost. Urgency to speak into their lives, to love them in any way we can, to allow, just like what Aaron was talking about last week, just the word of God saturating our lives and just being there speaks to the people around us. We're aroma. There's an aroma of Christ from us in our walk with Christ that comes to them. We might not even say a word. But they know who we are, what we stand for if we are like salt. And people know we are followers of Christ. Because then the kings of the earth, the princes, the generals, the rich, the mighty, and everyone else, both slave and free, hid in caves among the rocks of the mountains. They called out to the mountains and the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the day of their wrath has come, and who can withstand it?" We don't want people to be in that situation. We don't want people to be in a situation. We watched this movie, these 13 Thai boys who went out into a cave. We were in that cave. We had little flashlights. It got dark. I think we only went half an hour in, and then we were kind of scared because we're going, "What happens if our batteries give out?" And then we're stuck in the darkness, and there's no way to get out. Okay, no way. These guys went in. They had their flashlights, and then it started raining hard. And then the cave started filling up with water. Well, they were about 2 miles into that cave. And they had to get up in some dry area, and they were stuck there for 18 days. 18 days. Now, I think they found them on day 14, and they were able to get them some food and stuff like that. But they had to have special divers. They had Navy SEALs from Thailand, but they weren't good cavers because that's a special type of diving. So these foreigners, I think they were English and other people from around the world, came in, and they went in there a day dove, and they started, you know, helping them out. And they strung these lines. And so as they were going underwater with all this gear, you know, and these oxygen tanks, and they were just following the lines. And they had lights, of course, but it's probably still pretty murky, pretty dark in there because there's no light. It's a cave, right? And so, you know, there's no way to get these kids out because there's a guy at first there, and he got caught in a flood, and they took this man out. And, you know, they put the mask on him and the oxygen. He panicked. I would panic. I tell you, if you have to be underwater and you're doing this and that and stalactites and all that stuff are coming at you and you're going this way and that way, I'm done. Especially if you have to be there underwater for 2 hours or more. I don't know how. Six and a half hours at times. Yeah. So I don't know how long they were underneath, but I think it was many, many hours. I'm done. I'm sucking water. I'm dead. And one Navy SEAL did die. But then they got a guy in there who knew how to cave dive as well, and he was a doctor. And you know what they did to these kids? They gave them a shot. They put them under. They tied them up. They put the mask off, and they just brought them along. and while they're anesthetized or whatever you call it, right? Anesthetized. Thank you. I knew it was some weird word there. So they dragged them along. All 13 made it safe. By God's grace, all 13 made it safe. The cave could have come down on them. They could have filled up because there was more rain coming. We don't want to see that happen to the people around us, in our families, in our community, in our schools, on our teams, in our jobs. We don't want them to be these people who are calling the rocks down on them because they just don't want to see the face of Christ, because they want to hide from him. They don't understand who he is, that he would go, welcome. He's the seeker. Welcome. Welcome. I forgive you. Come. Let me put you on my shoulders and carry you off to my flock for eternity. And there's rejoicing in heaven. Rejoicing in heaven. Because he welcomes all. A lot of people just don't understand who God is. They think he's an angry God, a judgmental God, or he's nothing at all. But he is a loving God. He is a seeking God. And he asks us to be the same as we seek others. Let's pray. Father, yeah, we can't do this on our own. We try to do this on our own. I give up. I'm underwater. I'm just breathing the water. I'm done. I can't do it on my own. There's too much need. There's too much lostness around me, around us. So we call upon you. Call upon the power of the Holy Spirit to help us, guide us. Lord, you called us to partner with you. We are your church. We are the people who know you. May we come to know you more. May you saturate us with your Holy Spirit. Just fill us up with the power and the wonders of who you are, the fruit of the Spirit, all those good things, all those spiritual blessings, that we can go out empowered by you to be a blessing to those around us, even when we're falling all over ourselves at times, even when we miss those opportunities to say something or even pray. Lord God, I pray just your presence in us, your dwelling within us, will touch the lives of those people around us and cause them to feel that stone hit up against their head and get them out of their self-centered world and start them in their journey seeking you. For you are the great seeker. And you know where everybody is. Now you're waiting for open hearts. I pray that you'll open up those hearts of those people who have been resisting you for years and years and years. Open their hearts, Father. Convict them. And Lord, may they hear the news that you are a loving God. You are forgiving. You are accepting. You are welcoming them to your table to eat with you, to hear your voice, to count the cost. May we call that out, Father. May we be those who are those ambassadors of Christ. Ambassadors of Christ to go and to pray and to love and to speak the truth and to encourage and to never give up. Never give up. May your name be honored and glorified. May your kingdom advance. And may you draw many more to yourself. There would be many more salvation decisions, many more followers of Christ around the world, and even here in our own community, in our own families. We need you to empower us. Thank you for this word. We praise you in the name of Jesus Christ. And all those people say, amen. Amen.